Take one.
Hey.
Take two.
Hey.
Take three.
Hey, you gonna listen or what? We want to avoid the chain. We want to avoid the idea that you put out 15, 20, 25 seconds of uninterrupted copy. What you get at the end of that is no audience whatsoever. Welcome to the 10-Minute Producer and help that you've been looking for but never have found on the net, on the web, anywhere that you've been looking. I'm Mark Margulies, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer of Benmar Radio. We've been writing and producing radio commercials since 1987, and that means 125,000 commercials to our credit and under our belt. With me on every one of these podcasts and one of the main producers in this country, Vaughn Kaufman. Recently of Bonneville Incorporated out of Salt Lake City, but has been all over, and jingle producer, voice man. You've heard him probably 100 times and never really realized it. The man has more information in his head than anyone should be allowed to have. Vaughn, good afternoon and welcome to this first podcast.
So basically, I'm a big box with a whole bunch of stuff in it.
Yeah. Well, talk a little there bit, just to really, you know, kind of the small dog and pony act about where you come from, first of all, because, you know, we're going to be talking to a lot of producers who are in smaller markets, medium markets. They're going to look and somebody say, well, he doesn't understand what a smaller market guy has to go through on a daily basis.
I know
so,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, let's talk a little bit about your background and where you come from and some of the things that you've gone through, you know, up to this point.
Well, I started in L.A. and worked my way backwards. First commercial I ever voiced in my life was for my own store back in 1979 in Virginia Beach. And that's what really just gave me the, oh, wow. I walked in and all these buttons and light and sound coming out of these boxes. And I went, this is for me. And then I moved back to L.A. and I met a disc jockey out there. And he snuck me in the back door to be an intern with him. And then I got bored again, so I went back in the Navy. The Navy had a radio station, so I played around there for 4 years. My friendship cemented with him, and he brought me in as a legal intern into the production department at KRLA KHTZ in Los Angeles in the first part of 85. And when I got my first gig, it was in small town America. And I walked into the radio station my first day. My boss handed me a flyer and he said, there's the production room. And I was used to, you know, a $500,000 production room, went to a $3,000 production room with, ready for this, orange shag carpeting on the wall and turntables. And the whole sound effect library was on vinyl records. And I came out of the studio about 3 hours later. And so he went in, listened to it, come out and handed me the cart and said, you're the new production director. And how did you do that? And boy, was I thrown into the deep end real quick. And I've been the production director and or creative director for the last 40 years. I just retired last year.
So you bring up a perfect segue to our first discussion here on the 10-Minute Producer. Your experience is very, very similar to many of us who went in through radio and walked in the door and they closed the production door and went, good luck. So we get it. We're coming to you from a very, very old school perspective. And yet both of us have been working new school for, you know, however long it's evolved since the late 80s, early 90s, when things started to go on to, you know, binary.
When Jaws started coming out, yeah.
Exactly. Let's just assume that, you know, a middle market producer, you don't have a lot of fancy vocal elements. You don't have any voice delay, voice varying. You have a pretty basic production room. You're not going to have a lot of bells, whistles, and gongs that you're going to be able to utilize in the either the writing and or the production of your process. So let's start with just thinking things through. How, as a limited producer, do you start thinking about your elements and how you can make them work better?
Well, I'll give you a real good example. The spot I was talking about, they threw me in the deep end on. I ended up doing layered offset production on a 2-track. And of course, that also had fight bells and crowds, and you can't forget the biggest boxing song ever, Eye of the Tiger, behind it.
Right.
But, you know, you've got to make all that happen, and that's where it becomes a real problem. And when you're sitting here with a 2-track, a cart machine, a cassette machine, and an old mic with no processing, what do? Well, back in those days, you learned that if you run the, you know, if you run a little delay across the playback head, you know, you can get some reverb. And so that happened. And, you know, okay, so we've got that. You got to record that to a cart. So what I did is I recorded each, you know, when I say layered offset. So it's like coming now, you know, that kind of stuff. So the layered VO, I would do one line on the cart machine. And then I would do all the lines, every other line on the cart machine, then have it queued up and then hit the two track and say, you know, now, and then hit the button in the cart machine when it goes now for your enjoyment, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what got me the vocal track eventually. Then, okay, now we take another cart. We run that vocal track back to the cart machine. And now we play that while we're playing the music. And then we run that back to the cart machine. And now we'll play that. Well, we'll play the music and let's insert the sound effect here. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, so, you're doing what we affectionately used to call ping-ponging. When we didn't have a lot of multi-track availability, what we had to do was record down to a stereo unit and then take that mix if we wanted to add more in, and then ping pong it to another stereo unit, but doing it simultaneously with whatever element you were going to bring in. So in your example, where you have the vocal delays and you have some of the sound effects down, but you want to add, say, crowd and maybe a punch or two, right? So you've got the stereo. Yeah. Now you go ahead and you're not re-recording over. You're taking the same track, only now you open up your mic and maybe open up another element to get your sound effects on it, be it a cart or be it a computer or whatever. You lay it in as you're laying down this effect. So you don't have to have multi-track.
There were no computers back then.
No, you don't have to have multi-track. So when you're thinking through this idea, Vaughn, and you're limited in what you have in your production room, how should you be thinking? You gave a very good example, and I'm going to drop in an example of one of Vaughn's really superb pieces of work when he was stuck with no female vocal. Okay, let's say the client said, I want this kind of commercial and you got to do it with a female, and you don't have a female. You don't even have a secretary anymore, because the last time I went into a radio station, and I'm not talking about a teeny one, I'm talking about a major hitting radio station here in Denver, they'd had nobody at the reception desk. You may not have access to a female. He came up with a really inventive and creative way of doing that. Take a listen to this.
It was a lovely summer's day in the city. I was out for a walk when I spotted her. She was beating her collar into submission with a sailor's vocabulary. The sound of her sultry voice was intoxicating. Naturally, I offered my assistance. I said, what can I do for you? How can I help? Oh, I said, put a sock in it, sugar lips. I said, take your car to Tunex. Yeah, Tunex, I said. It just so happens to be their 42nd anniversary. And they'll check your starting and charging systems, belts, wiper blades, and more. It's called a health check, and it's free. I said, they're nationally known, locally owned. Tunex is complete car care. And by the looks of your situation, you could use some care. No, not me, sweet cheeks. Tunex. And when they fix this jalopy, no matter how old it is, you can even pay for it with your RC Willie card. She flashed me a smile, stopping traffic, and then consulted her smarty pants phone for the nearest Tunex location. And me, I just moved right along.
Okay, so there's an example of thinking out of the box, and it worked perfectly, right?
Yeah, it did. The process is the same thing. What do you do? How do you lay it out? How do you make this work? You just come up with different ideas, different things to do, you know. And then, of course, if the office staff is in, then grab your secretary, grab your traffic director, and record them. And sometimes the most offbeat stuff that they do and some of the mistakes are some of the best things you'll lay on tape.
That's true.
And just be inventive. Just think a little bit outside of the box, you know?
To piggyback on your thought, you can't be afraid to stretch yourself out a little bit. So there's a lot of times I've run into producers, I've written spots for small to medium market stations, and the producer will call me and say, I can't do this voice. Now, I'm not asking them to do a combination of John Wayne and Arnold Schwarzenegger acting like Mae West. I'm asking them to do a very, very simple, like a little bit of a New Yorker kind of accent, or maybe a little bit of a British accent. That doesn't mean that you're talented enough to pull that off in a 30 or a 60. We're not talking about that. But when I say think out of the box, I mean, think along the lines of what I like to refer to, and Vaughn, you may have another term for it in production, but when we write, we call them vocal drops. They're usually 2 to 3 second pieces and kind of,
wild lines.
Okay. So wild lines, it's a drop in voice. It's something like you say as an announcer, don't forget that when one of your feet says, "Hi there," you can make your voice go up or even use a variable speed on your computer program and make it faster or slower. Very, very simple thing to do. But what does it do for you as a producer? It breaks the chain. Okay. Here's what we want to avoid. We want to avoid the chain. We want to avoid the idea that you put out 15, 20, 25 seconds of uninterrupted copy. What you get at the end of that is no audience whatsoever. And remember, there's the other side of this coin, which is sound effects drop-ins. You have a sound effects library that's probably ankle deep. And so what you do is make sure that if you read a sentence or two, at some point, you have some sort of an element, even if you're using your voice, to pause and get people's attention that way. It's really important to understand you have that as a tool and as a weapon. Stay away from those long blocks, because when you get into a situation where you're giving nothing but copy, your audience is gone after 6 seconds. And we're, by the way, Vaughn, we're going to be talking about that in another one of these segments about the first 6 seconds of the radio commercial and why it's the most important 6 seconds.
And then there's always, the husband or the wife around the dinner table knows the entire P&L of the company that they're advertising. And I also heard that they did da 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 da. It's the stupidest crap you'll ever hear in your life. No. So that's what your announcer is for. You know, the announcer guy is the one who knows everything. The characters don't. The characters are there to give you the problem and give you the solution. The announcer is there to give you the information.
You will absolutely love that idea, because the announcer can come in. The announcer can almost become part of the whole scenario if you want that to happen. So to just recap, you can ping pong to produce again and again if you don't have multi-tracking or if you don't have sophisticated abilities. But if you do, please break your copy with any one of a number of tricks like vocal drops, sound effects, and as Vaughn just suggested, the announcer does the heavy lifting for you if it's a 30 or a 60 second two voice. And I think that's
there's something else you need to talk about. The music. We all use, most radio stations, a lot of them have FirstCom. Universal Music, I guess now. It used to be called FirstCom. But one of the interesting things about a good production library, production music is laid out where you have stabs and natural ends inside the bed. And so if you can do any decent editing at all, play with it. So if you have to break that diatribe, you can do it with a hard note, a crescendo, an accentuator, whatever you have inside that music that makes it work. And Mark, you know as well as I do, there's nothing to me better than a single voice spot that's well-voiced, well-written, and well-produced.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing about that is it has to be well-produced. One of the things that irks me to no end, and I hear it a lot in small markets, and I hear it in major markets as well, and that's fading at the end. Mm-hmm. I hate fading at the end. It's a lazy producer's way of getting out of the spot.
Yeah.
Instead of finding the end, edit it together so you've got, boom, the punch at the end, and it's done.
That takes 5 minutes of thought. Even if you're stacked high, even if they handed you a stack of 20 spots and they got to get out today because you're doing dollar a holler special for Labor Day, it takes 5 minutes to think through something that simple. Vaughn, great stuff. We're going to, that's the end of at least this 10-minute producer segment. Okay. When we come back with our next producer segment, we're going to be talking about the most important 6 inches you'll ever need. Honestly, and it's not what you think it is, but it will
first
be
line, right?
It will be the one that that you will understand, and you will learn something that is as old as radio itself. Orson Welles was the first practitioner of this. So, Vaughn, good talking to you. We'll be back with the next segment soon. And as you know, if this has value to you and you like what you hear, please pass it along to your friends and to others who you think may benefit from it. We're going to be here producing these left and right and giving you a lot of different tips. So stay with us. It's the 10-Minute Producer with Vaughn Kaufman and Mark Margulies. You have yourself a great, great day. Thanks for listening.